Line, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Ask D-Mace in 30 minutes. So get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your texts, your calls. Anything is on the table for our very own Derek Mason. Titans on the road this weekend at New Orleans. We'll get the first peek behind the curtain of what Tim Kelly has been doing, tinkering this offense, making it maybe just a little bit better than worst in the league last season. But we'll get back into all of your Titans thoughts, and we'll continue to break down what the Tennessee Titans need to do in order to bring a dub home after this weekend. But let's transition quickly to the college side of things.
All right, D-Mace and I have picked four games for you, Caroline. We want to get your take on this because you are now, for people that don't know, you've been doing some stuff on the side here, a good gig you got going, which is very college football centric. So you get down into the details a little more than D-Mace and I, who just, we like watching the games, the big games, and saying, okay, this is what we think. So we need your insight on four games. Let's start with a game that I think is pretty intriguing. Tajay Spears has been a very interesting name to follow in the Titans world here. For those that maybe didn't follow his college career, he had a huge year for Tulane last year. It was one of the best Tulane seasons ever. They beat USC in the bowl game last year. It kind of shocked everybody. Now, you know, the bowl games that are not playoff games, maybe a little different now with a lot of players that choose not to play. But nonetheless, still a big win for that program. They get to host Ole Miss this weekend.
Yeah.
Two ranked teams going head-to-head. So what do you think of that? How good is Tulane in the post-Tajay Spears?
This is a really sneaky good game. Because anyone that hasn't followed Tulane might think, oh, Ole Miss, Tulane, that's just another one of those cupcake games, you know, non-Power 5, Group of 5 teams that Ole Miss is just going to roll. That's not what this Tulane team is. Like, this is a good football team. You brought up beating USC in the Cotton Bowl last year. Tajay Spears had over 200 rushing yards in that game. I don't think that this Tulane team loses a Tajay Spears and feels okay about it. But I think that the biggest factor for Tulane is their quarterback, Michael Pratt. This is his fourth season with Willie Fritz, head coach of Tulane, within this Tulane system. And just looking at what he did last season, over 60% completion percentage, 3,000 passing yards, 27 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. Like, he is a solid quarterback. And I think that if Michael Pratt, let's say he chooses to go into the transfer portal, like, he could start at almost every single Power 5 program in the country. So he is not a quarterback, and this is not a program to just scoff at. You know, Ole Miss, I think, is an improved team than what they were last year. Ole Miss, they didn't have a great defense.
I noticed the over-under this game is 66.5, so we could have a fun shootout here.
Yeah, I might want to take the over there, because although I do think this Ole Miss defense is improved. So Lane Kiffin brought in Pete Golding, Alabama's defensive coordinator, last season into Ole Miss, and their defense, you know, they played Mercer last week, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt. Gave up a touchdown, gave up one big run at the beginning of the game last week against Mercer, and pretty much stuffed everything from there. So I think that this Ole Miss defense is improved. And I think this offense is improved as well. Jackson Dart is a better passer than what we saw last season, which is to be expected. Jackson Dart was in his first year at Ole Miss in Lane Kiffin's system. So I think you're going to see a better Ole Miss team this year than you saw last year. But I'm taking Tulane to cover the 7. I think this is going to be a close game. It's in New Orleans. It's at Tulane. So I think that that can be a factor here. But also, I think that this Tulane offense is going to give – it's going to be the toughest defense – or the toughest test for this Ole Miss defense. Not on the season, but obviously so far in the season. So I think it's going to be close. It's going to be a fun one to watch.
Well, the next
offensive
game –
offensive firepower, for sure.
Well, the next game I want to ask you about, and it might be some offensive power as well. It didn't look that way last year. It was more of a defensive battle. Texas, Alabama – last year they were in Texas. Quinn Ewers gets hurt. Alabama takes full advantage of that. They win a close game. If he was healthy, I'm not sure if Alabama would have won that game in Texas. Now it's in Tuscaloosa. What do you think about this game?
New quarterback.
There's still a question mark with Alabama and their quarterback.
Yeah.
Call me crazy. Mm-hmm. Call me a Saban hater. I don't believe in this Alabama team this year. Mm-hmm. Now, with that being said, Alabama can still go 10-2. Like, not believing in Alabama. Like, I don't think that Alabama is a national championship contender this season, mm-hmm. which is the Alabama standard. I still think they're going to win double-digit games and probably go to a New Year's Six Bowl. So take all of that, you know, at face value. This, to me, is the prove-it game for Jalen Milroe, Alabama's starting quarterback. Jalen Milroe has not proven that he can win games with his arm. He is by far Alabama's best playmaker with his legs. I mean, he is one of the – I would look at him and Jaden Daniels as the two best running quarterbacks in the SEC. But Jalen Milroe struggles passing the football. If I'm Sark, if I'm Texas's defense, my number one plan is take the run away from Alabama. And with Texas's defensive line, like, they can do it. They can take away the run from Alabama. So that's going to be Jalen Milroe's challenge is – throw yourself into this game. Throw yourself into a win. It's what Bryce Young was able to do last year for Alabama. I mean, he was unstoppable. He was Superman for Alabama last year. Jalen Milroe is not Bryce Young. And that's not a knock on Jalen Milroe, because I don't know how many quarterbacks.
Well, he's got to fight
Bryce
to keep
Young.
The job, mm-hmm. right? He's got other yes. people in the mix.
There's Ty Simpson and Tyler Buckner, the transfer from Notre Dame. I mean, they're sitting on the sidelines waiting to come into that game if and when Jalen Milroe can't keep this team in the game with his arm. So that's the key to me is Jalen Milroe. If you can win this game by passing the football, then fine. I will be convinced. And it sounds crazy. It feels like unorthodox to me to pick Steve Sarkisian to come into Bryant-Denny Stadium and beat Nick Saban. Fun fact, Alabama in the last 53 games that they have played at home have lost one game. Mm. And it was to that 2019 LSU team. They are 52-1 in wow. their last 53 home games. So, like, I know how crazy it sounds to pick this Texas team to beat Alabama and Nick Saban at home. I just don't believe in the quarterback.
All right, D-Mace, mm-hmm. you have the Big Ten background, so yes. I don't know how you feel about this issue. But I am really curious. I know as an SEC guy and a person that was against – bringing Texas and Oklahoma into the league. I'm a little more – I'm protective of the rivalries, the geography. I just don't like this. But there are a lot of SEC fans that just love to watch Texas get smoked.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, I think there are a lot of not – I would even venture to say some Auburn fans would enjoy it if Alabama just trucked Texas. I think the league wants to deliver a message – in a little, you know, hey, Texas, you think you're going to come into this league and roll over guys like Alabama? Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. So I think this is one of those things where the non-Alabama fans will be going, SEC.
Oh, yeah.
SEC. I remember Kirk Herbstreit years ago, the first time he heard that, it was in like the title game or something. He said that would never happen in the Big Ten.
Because it would it just, never.
They would never
ever.
Do that.
No.
But the SEC has this collective pride. So I
it
do
just
think this
means
is
more
one of those,
Willie.
Yeah, I think this is one of those games. Like,
don't ask Tennessee fans to scream, you know, let's go Alabama.
No. But I wonder, do Tennessee fans want to see Alabama flex a little bit just in the name of the league here? I'm curious about that.
After the outing that the SEC had last weekend, going 0-3 against, you know, non-conference Power 5.
Yeah, it
teams,
wasn't a great week.
South Carolina losing to North Carolina, LSU losing to Florida State, Florida getting pummeled by Utah. Like, it was Yeesh. A bad look for the SEC.
Right, it was fun for the other conferences to circulate that stat.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. And still, the SEC is still the most competitive and the most dominant conference in all of college football. But, you know, Alabama being the class of the SEC and being the standard in college football, getting beat by a team that claims to be back every single year but goes 7-5 and 8-4 every single
They're
year.
They're the Dallas Cowboys of the NCAA.
They are. And it would be a bad look for the conference, but what better way for Texas to come into the SEC than say, hey, we just beat the best team historically in your conference. Like, you know, we're coming in all big on our bridges.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's some pride on the line
If they're going to do it, this is a prime opportunity to do it because of the quarterback position for Alabama. Now, Jalen Miro, he had a good game last week throwing three touchdowns, but that was against a puff, you know? So now.
Hey, don't you say that about my Blue Raiders.
in regards to, you know, what they have played, you know, in prior years as far as teams that you,
they're usually
15,
playing one of those neutral
teams.
Site games
exactly.
in the opener.
They're
right?
usually
that was
playing
unusual.
Like a Texas.
Alabama?
Yeah.
Oh, they
Alabama.
Play cupcake yeah. after cupcake.
But what I'm saying is
they usually start the year in a stadium somewhere in Atlanta.
Exactly,
and
it's usually
somebody.
A top 10 team. Like last year.
A power five.
Last year, they played Texas, their opener.
No,
I believe.
Last year their opener was Utah State.
Texas was their second game. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, this is going to be, because I know Texas want to come in here and they want to prove that, listen, we belong. And last year was a good opportunity for them to execute that, but they didn't. You know, if anybody else is playing quarterback not named Bryce Young, they probably will win that game. Now, fast forward, they have the better quarterback. They have the better team, I believe.
Texas has the
yes.
better quarterback and the better receivers.
Exactly. So this is a prime. And even if they beat Alabama, I don't think it's because I look at it like the Texas A&M game years ago when Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel came into the house, you know, and beat Alabama. Mm-hmm. Now, that was a closer game than what many forget it was. A&M came out and just steamrolled in the first half.
They went up like 21-0.
Exactly. The second half, Alabama shut A&M down. Mm-hmm. Completely, and if it wasn't for a few fluke plays, Alabama wins that game. Mm-hmm. So I say that to say this: whether Texas wins or not, they have to make a statement.
Yeah.
It can't be a blowout game. If Alabama does win this, which I think is going to be close, I'm pulling for Alabama just because of Nick Saban. Mm-hmm. But smart money's telling me go with Texas. This is the better team with the better quarterback right now.
Hmm.
My hot take for this game, I think there's going to be a quarterback change. I think that Jalen
Texas or Alabama?
For Alabama.
Okay. Bama will have to change quarterbacks in the game.
That's what I think. That's my hot take for the game. I think that Jalen Milroe is going to come out and struggle throwing the football, but they're going to be able to stay in the game, and the only way for them to win is if they bring in Ty Simpson.
Well, we'll see.
Some more hot takes for the college football slate coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mays, ask D-Mays in 15 minutes. Get those questions in for Derek Mason. And tune into 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, tomorrow for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will kick off at 10 a.m. on the road against Wake Forest with pregame beginning at 8:30 a.m. You can hear all the coverage on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. And speaking of college games, we're picking some of the biggest games of the weekend. Alabama-Texas is far and beyond the best game of the weekend and really a prove-it game for both Texas and for Alabama. Tulane Ole Miss, a sneaky good game. I think it's going to be a lot closer than maybe sports books anticipate it to be. But what else we got on the slate this weekend?
All right, I got our man Jimbo Fisher. I remember a lot of remember the whole summer of what was it? Bread man. What was it? Sliced bread. Sliced bread.
Yes.
And bro Bible.
Yeah, bro Bible.
Bro Bible. Sliced bread. The people that were had all this info, how they were cheating, and they had the, you know, about the recruits they were getting, right?
Yeah.
And he got very defensive, and he started reading off the message board, and he goes, "Look at this guy he's talking about his
bro Bible.
Sliced bread. Who are these guys?" You know. But then, of course, the year didn't go very well, right? And then you started hearing, "Are they gonna fire Jimbo Fisher?" And everybody was like, "They guaranteed his contract. They owe him so much money." Had it not been for that, a lot of people think, you know, they got it, you know, just like many programs before, they could have gotten very impatient and made a change. But he's back. They're ranked. They go to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of that matchup? This is an interesting test for them.
It is, because they're on the road at Miami, and Miami was not a good team last year. And also, neither was Texas A&M. But Texas A&M was able to get the win at home against Miami last year. But this is a these are both of these teams are improved. From what I saw week one, Texas A&M is the much more improved team. Like, I have joked before, like, I'm not going to overreact to week one. But Connor Wigman Heisman watch. That's Texas A&M starting quarterback.
You think they've got the guy at quarterback now?
I think they've got the guy.
Because that's been a big problem.
It is. When Jimbo Fisher got, you know, recruited Connor Wigman, it was the wide belief that Connor Wigman was the best quarterback that Jimbo Fisher had recruited at Texas A&M. And we saw a little bit of that at the end of the season last year. Remember, you know, A&M at that point was 4-7 going into that final game against LSU. LSU wins that game. They could be a college football playoff team. Mm-hmm. A&M wins that game and they go 5-7 and miss a bowl game. So both of these teams were going in at very different, you know, points of the season. Connor Wigman starts that game and Texas A&M blows LSU out. Connor Wigman is that dude. Now, they played New Mexico last week, so you know, I want to see him do it against more quality opponents. That's what we're going to see this weekend against Miami. But I absolutely loved what I saw from Connor Wigman. And he wasn't afraid to take kind of the risky, deep shot throws. He is a gunslinger through and through. Now, we know that that can sometimes get you into trouble, especially against higher quality opponents and defenses that might be able to poke holes in a risky passing game. But Texas A&M also has the ground game to be able to match with it. So I think that Texas A&M is going to win this game. And honestly, I don't think it's really even going to be close.
It comes from a site called Bro Bible.
Bro Bible.
A guy named Slice Bread.
So Bro Bible.
On the internet, it's gospel. When I first heard it, I laughed. I said, oh, yeah, what a clown. I mean, somebody off Slice Bread.
Bro Bible.
A guy named Slice who made it up. Love to see who sliced bread in. Put it out there with sliced bread. Let me find out where it comes from. And sliced bread. And sliced bread.
Hey.
Did we ever find sliced bread? I don't know.
I don't know if Jimbo ever found sliced bread. I'm not sure.
That probably did wonders for sliced bread's career.
Exactly. He probably got, I don't know, he or she got probably 100,000 followers because of that. Probably more than that. So
sliced bread.
So I'm no... Bro Bible is like, thank you, Jimbo. Okay.
Also, wait, last thing on that. What I'm intrigued to see. If
on sliced bread?
On sliced bread. What I'm intrigued to see with A&M, if this game is close, because Jimbo Fisher brought in Bobby Petrino to call offensive plays.
Yes.
And that is a wild, wild storyline for this A&M team. And last week, there couldn't have been enough good things said about Jimbo Fisher from Bobby Petrino and vice versa. And everything was great. Everything was wonderful. The relationship was wonderful. But when you're up 100-0, it's really easy to have a good relationship. What I'm intrigued to see is if it's against Miami or any point in this season, if things start to go a little bit further south with the offense, if the offense is struggling, if it's a close game, when does Jimbo Fisher start to overstep his boundaries and start taking over the offense? And when do things start to get a little bit heated between he and Bobby Petrino? I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's something that I'm going to watch for when they start to play better opponents.
Oh, I love a good train wreck.
Me too. If it does happen.
Or motorcycle wreck.
Yes.
No pun intended.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry. I should have. Too soon?
Poor Bobby.
No, if that does happen, I think Jimbo days are coming to an end. If he and Bobby Petrino start bumping heads on what should be called and what shouldn't be called. Because you brought him in specifically to change up the offense, because before you were not doing a good job as a head coach with the offensive side of the ball. So if they start bumping heads, then A&M fans, I feel for y'all. The game of the week, here it is. The number 22, and I know it's only 22, but where they came from, 22 is great right about now. The Buffaloes of Colorado.
That's
Nebraska
your team.
Cornhuskers.
Your team.
D-Mace has jumped on the bandwagon.
Listen, in the previous four games prior to Prime, Coach Prime getting there.
BP before Prime.
Three out of their last four games, they couldn't manage to score as many points as Colorado did in their first game with Coach Prime. They scored 45 points last week. In three of the four games last year, they only scored 38 points. Okay.
That's
now
so sad.
the eventually they get over the edge because they end up scoring 17 points against USC, but USC scored 55 points, so it really didn't matter. But all in all, they really only scored their last four games 50-something points. And last week we saw them put up 45 points with Sanders at quarterback and Hunter at receivers. And they
Hunter
got a plethora
receiver and running
of receivers.
Back and corner and linebacker and offensive
exactly.
line.
Exactly. So this game, Caroline, one, we want to know what you think about it. But I don't think this is going to be this game nor last game. I don't think this game is going to be a test for Colorado. I don't think Nebraska is as good as Colorado. I think this is another situation where Colorado, from top to bottom, is better than the Cornhuskers. Cornhuskers, they don't have a quarterback. Their quarterback's awful.
This here's my thing with Colorado is you.
Nebraska's quarterback's awful, not Colorado's quarterback.
And Matt Rhule came in. This is his first season at Nebraska. He wants to bring the air raid to Nebraska, which. Those two things, to me, sound
don't
like,
mesh.
You know,
well,
oil
not right
and
now.
Water.
He doesn't have the personnel right
he
now.
Doesn't,
that looked very clear against Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. But there's part of me that's like, air raid to the Big Ten, let's go! Like, that feels very icky and very, you know, like it's not, like, imagine Iowa and going up against the air raid. Mm-hmm. Like, just gross and sickos committee type of college football, Nebraska and the air raid. It's going to take time for Matt Rhule to bring his offensive philosophies to Nebraska. And like you said, he just doesn't have the players. Mm-hmm. Like, Nebraska's always going to have really good offensive linemen. They just breed – the state of Michigan and Nebraska and Iowa, they breed the, you know, the big, beefy linemen. They're going to have that. They just don't have the skill players. Mm-hmm. There's more talent on that Colorado team than there is in Nebraska. I think Colorado wins this game. The spread's, I think, Colorado by 3.5. I think they blow that line.
Are you
out
surprised?
Of the water.
But see, that's an interesting thing to me. Like, why is the line only 3?
2.5.
It's 2.5.
2.5.
The line opened at 2.5, and then it went up to 3.5, and then something must have happened and went back down to 2.5.
And even if it were 3.5, I would still say, what do they know?
Yeah.
Why is that line so low?
Because it's too low for me, considering what we saw from Nebraska in the first game and what we saw from Colorado.
Is that just a too good to be true thing with Colorado?
It might be one of those things of there's a lot of money going in on Nebraska because people look at this Colorado team and say, okay, well, yeah, TCU is the reigning national champion runner-up, but they lost a ton of production. Mm-hmm. They don't really think that TCU was that good of a team anyway. So maybe it was beginner's luck for Prime. Maybe Colorado wasn't as good as advertised in week one.
But Dion will be all over that at the post-game press conference.
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe?
Oh, the line was only 2.5? You guys thought it was just a one-game thing? I mean, he's going to be all over
it. My theme news.
It's going to be a good game. I think all eyes are going to be on the Buffaloes this weekend.
And rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
And it's the Prime Fox, 11 a.m., big noon kickoff, right?
Yeah, because Colorado has featured. To prove they can do it again. I think they can do it again from a offensive standpoint as far as scoring points. I think Shador is an excellent quarterback. I think they spread the ball around enough, and they got enough young playmakers that they can get the job done offensively. Mm-hmm. It's not as difficult in college to score points when you have the talent there.
Oh, yeah.
My problem with Colorado is their defense. We raved about their offense. We raved about Shador. We even raved about Hunter on offense and defense. But they gave up 42 points.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points. Your offense scored 45, but your defense gave up 42. You can't continue to do that if you're going to be the team that I know Coach Prime wants his team to be, and they want to be. Mm-hmm. You can't keep giving up 40-something points a game. Because essentially, you know, this is what the Big 12 is. Great offenses, no defenses.
Horrendous defenses.
Exactly. So I'm thinking, Coach Prime, you are a defensive guy. Mm-hmm. You don't want that to be the stigma of your team. Yeah, we're going to score 30, 40 points, but we're also going to give up 30 or 40 points.
It's not sustainable.
It's not. No.
You know, in
not winning sustainability. No.
I think we learned that from Tennessee last year. That was always my thing with Tennessee. You'll give up 43, but you're going to score 45. Mm-hmm. And that's how they won so many games, was simply just outgunning every other team on their schedule. But when the offense wasn't all on the same page and it wasn't really firing on all cylinders against South Carolina, they gave up 60-something points.
Georgia.
In Georgia, exactly. Right. The offense just couldn't get things moving, and they couldn't stop Georgia's offense. So I think that while Colorado's offense is so fun to watch, and it is, how sustainable is it to consistently give up that many points?
Exactly.
It's going to be a fun weekend.
Yes.
I'm excited about it. Let's get into your questions for D-Maze coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get those questions in for D-Maze. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063 The Game.
D-Maze. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
And there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We get your calls, your text. D-Mace, you ready?
Ready like Eddie.
Let's get into it, because one texter texts in and said, I have to get D-Mace's thoughts on Kadarius Toney last night.
It was a bad night for him. It just was. You know, I know that feeling in every receiver, I think, who's played enough snaps in this league. You have that one game. That's just the way it is. Everybody can't be perfect. You know, as much as I want it to be and pride myself on doing, you know, showing up each and every game, you just have days like that. And I felt for the young man because he's a good football player, and he's shown he's a good football player. Now, he's had some bad luck. He's been injured more times than not, but they keep him around because when he's healthy, he has the potential of being a playmaker for their team. And he has been at times, but last night just wasn't a good day for him. And you just saw it after, you know, one of the drops, you just saw the body language. And once you allow that to sort of get on you, that body language, I mean, every throw now that's down the field that's coming your way, it's like it's taking forever to come. And if you have any time to think about it, you're going to think about it and you're going to end up dropping the ball. He had two. The crosser, they end up being a pick six. And then the one at the end of the game.
Right through his hands.
The one at the end of the game. I know it was a little bit thrown behind, but it's still a catchable pass. And it goes right off of his hands. That was the third. What was it? Third and 20. It would have been a first down.
It's a big chunk, too.
Yeah, it would have
put him right
down.
In prime position
exactly.
To go in for the winning
field. I know he feels extremely bad. But Here's the encouraging part about it. Mahomes kept going to him. Mahomes just kept throwing. You know, it didn't faze Mahomes, because I think Mahomes has that trust in him that, okay, he'll get it. This isn't him. I understand we all have bad days, but it wasn't like Mahomes then was trying to go, especially after the pick six. It wasn't like Mahomes was trying to go away from him. Toney did catch a few passes now, but the two that he dropped were big passes.
When I was watching that game last night, I just heard your voice in my head, hitching the hands.
Yeah,
gotta
hitching
catch that.
The hands, got to catch it.
Got to catch that.
Right
catch
here,
it.
I thought the same thing. I was like, God, D-Maze is probably yelling on his couch right now.
Eric is on the line. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys, what's going on? And before I get to my Ask D-Maze, you know, I got a dad joke
okay,
for you.
Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Bring it on.
I got to admit that most of these dad jokes I get through the grapevine. They're not originals for me, but here's one, and I hope you like it. Why did the rooster want to go to the club?
He wanted to raise the roof?
No. Did you give up?
Yes.
He wanted to see a chicken strip.
A chicken strip.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you liked it.
Okay.
Somebody give him some water. Give him some water.
Fall over.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Oh, man. That was a good one. That was a good one.
I'm glad
you almost killed Venus.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad you like it. I'm glad
I need some water on that one.
Man. Hey, my question, Steve Mace, for you is this. I know you've kind of talked about the Titans and stuff, but I just want to ask you, what is the one thing that's coming up this Sunday that you hope to see in the Titans game against the Saints? Guys, it's always good to talk to you guys. Y'all take care, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks a lot. The one thing that I do want to see in this upcoming weekend's game versus the Titans, obviously the elephant in the room is the offensive line. You want to see, you know, that. But I do want to see Chig, because the last time I saw Chig, he dropped two passes, two that hit his hands. And that's not characteristic of a guy that I saw last year. I want to see how, now that it's the regular season, is he going to legitimately take that next step? Is he going to be a guy that jumps out of the screen, mm-hmm. that not only we're talking about, but the country's talking about? After this game, I want to see, is this a game where Chig name becomes a household name across the NFL? Because he has the talent. He can do it. We've seen it. Now he needs to put it all together, because I do truly believe that if this offense is going to be an offense that they want to be, besides Derrick Henry, Chig Okonkwo has to be a matchup problem. He has to be a guy that teams are game planning for to stop him. It has to be a Kittles or Travis Kelce, or an Andrews type of player, in a sense. He doesn't have to be as good as those three guys, because those three guys are damn good. One is a Hall of Famer right now, and the other two are sort of trending that way. But he needs to come out of this game, or during this game, where we're talking about him in the same breath as we talk about those other three guys for this team. We talk about Kelce because what he means to the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's the best tight end in the league. We talk about Andrews because of what he means to the Baltimore Ravens. And we talk about Kerry Kittles because of what he means to the San Francisco 49ers. We need to be talking about, and the country needs to be talking about that with Chig Okonkwo. Mm-hmm. After this game, he needs to make an impact in this game, because I think if he does that, I truly believe this offense will take off.
Yeah, absolutely. Another texter texts in with a question for D. Mace and says, how big of a role will Treylon Burks play in this offense alongside Hopkins and Henry? That's from Austin and Nashville.
He has to be, to me, and other people may not think this way, he has to be their number one receiver. But he doesn't necessarily have to be like the guy that catches the most passes. He doesn't. But he needs to be their number one receiver, their number one threat downfield. He has the tools to do that. He's big, physical, fast. He's A.J. Brown. Maybe not as good as, but he has those characteristics of an A.J. Brown, a guy that can catch that, you know, 12-yard in route that the Titans love to run after play action. He can catch it at 10 and get you another 10 to 15 yards. Why? Because once he gets the ball in his hands, like Chig Okonkwo, he's explosive. It's hard to tackle a big guy like that. He gets the ball and he becomes a running back the minute he gets it. So he needs to be that guy. Again, he doesn't have to catch the most passes, but he needs to be that threat downfield that the Titans have been missing since A.J. Brown left.
More questions for D-Mace coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 1025-1063, the game. Ask D-Mace. Get those questions in for D-Mace. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Gover Texan with a question for D-Mace. Says, being in his first new team, how motivated will Derek Carr be on Sunday to perform well?
I think he's going to be very motivated. I think it's sort of like, you know, one, he's reinventing himself in a sense. But again, he gets a clean slate. You know, I just don't think, you know, the Vegas Raiders and Josh McDaniels was a good marriage with the quarterback. hell, it might be a, not be a good marriage with that team. You see Chandler Jones wants out. Well, he doesn't want to report. We saw Devontae Adams, you know, during not the season, happy. Not too happy. So, I don't know. Maybe he's rubbing people the wrong way up in Vegas, over in Vegas. I don't know. But I think this is motivation, just like I think it's motivation for DeAndre Hopkins. You know, we've read the articles. We know the snippets that were pulled out of the articles. This team didn't want me. This team didn't want me. This team didn't want me. So I got something to prove. I think Derek Carr has something to prove to himself that, you know, that he's a guy that you should want on your team. He's a quarterback that you should want quarterbacking your team to be a leader of your team. It just didn't work. It, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't work with the Vegas Raiders. He and Josh McDaniels, he goes to a team that wants him. They went out, they got him, they paid him the money. So when you feel wanted as a player and you're already a good player, that does wonders for you. You feel like, okay, now I can be myself. Now I can go and play. I don't think he could ever be himself once Josh McDaniels got there to Vegas. I get it. I think he gets an opportunity to be who he is truly here in New Orleans. So I think this is going to be an opportunity for him. Again, I don't know how the numbers are going to look, mm-hmm. but I think from a mental standpoint and a leadership standpoint, you're going to get a better Derek Carr.
How long do you think that Josh McDaniels is going to be in Vegas?
I don't know. If he doesn't win this year, I would think he would be out, considering what is going on with other players. It seemed like they don't want to be there. Now, the thing is, the Raiders, they're not the richest team in the National Football League either.
31 billionaires, exactly. 1 millionaire.
So can they afford to, you know, move away from Josh McDaniels and still have to pay him his salary? I don't know. So he may be stuck there for the duration of the contract.
Not a great sign for the Raiders.
No, it's not. Like, there's no hype on the Raiders this year. None.
None whatsoever. So.
Second question from Gover. Would you rather do 1 hour of radio with Rexroad or Stillman?
Dun, dun.
On the clock.
Oh, man. You know what? Okay, if I just want to have a good show, like a good show, just clean show, then I'm going with Rex. Yeah. That's my guy.
With actual discussion, exactly. nuanced discussion.
I'm going with Rex. If I want to have a good show, but also just go back and forth and probably me throwing things around or you hear on the radio all the time, like, serious, then I'm going with Stillman. You know, it just all depends. Because both shows would be great. Because both guys understands and knows their job very well, and they do a wonderful job on their shows. But it's just, if I come in and I just want to, you know, chill day, but good radio, I'm going with Man Rex. If I'm come in, you know, hair on fire, ready to go, then I'm going with Stillman, because we have a good show, but we're going to go back and forth.
Based off of my personal weekly experience every Wednesday, I highly recommend doing a show with both. Because I've been doing Jerry versus Joe here at the station the past couple of weeks, and I'll turn my mic off and Ian and I will just laugh and laugh and laugh. It is a great time.
That's what's good about our menu. On 102.5 The Game, we have all of the different types of sports stuff.
We got everything you want. Yes. Everything you want.
Pick your poison.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wes in Hermitage is on the line with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Wes?
Oh, happy dad joke Friday. Y'all
Let's
know
do
you
it.
Gotta depend on me.
Let's go, Wes.
Oh, man. What did the ocean say to the beach?
I beat you.
Nah, he
good,
just waved.
Good try.
What'd you say?
No, he just waved.
I like that one. Okay. That was simple,
yeah,
clean,
good delivery,
and to the point. And the delivery was just great, even though I had you repeat it because I couldn't hear you. But that's me. I'm getting a little old. Don't worry about Wes.
Well, you got this one though. What did the number zero say to the number eight?
I heard this one like a billion times too. Gosh, seven up, something like that. I don't know.
It's a nice belt you're wearing.
Nice.
A good dad joke does take a second.
Yes, it takes a second to kind of process. No wonder my kids look at me crazy.
Yeah.
What you got, Wes?
My question for you, man, is you know, there's a lot of uncertainties, obviously, going into Week One for just about every team. But you know, New Orleans is it's a pretty difficult place to play. The Titans travel down to New Orleans this weekend, and we go, you know, we take an L. We come back home against the Chargers and take an L. We start out 0-2. What do we feel? How should we feel as Titans fans?
Thank you for the question and the dad joke, Wes. I guess it all depends on, just like any game in the National Football League, how does that 0-2 look? I know it's a loss. I get it. But it's a long season. They got 15 more games left. They can go, you know, win 15 straight and end up being 15-2. We won't think about the two games that they lost at the beginning of the season. But it's how you lose those games would be the concern for me. And I'm not Titan fans. I'm not saying they are going to lose these two games. Obviously, I got them beating New Orleans. But to me, it's how does the losses look? If they're getting dominated on the offensive line and Ryan Tannehill is running for his life, or if Derrick Henry can't get anything going, then Tennessee, we got a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to say Houston, but we're not in Houston. Tennessee, we got a problem.
Amy, we got a problem.
Exactly. Now, if they lose these games, the two games, and they're competitive and the offensive line doesn't look as bad as we thought, they just may not have gotten the breaks, which it has happened with the Titans. You just don't get the breaks in a game that, mm-hmm. that you know, you thought you may get. If it happens that way, then I think you should feel optimistic about them moving forward. Everything is predicated on that offensive line. If the offensive line looks good in a loss, I think we all feel better because that's something, well, okay, at least we don't have to worry about the offensive line, you know, at least for the time being. But if they lose and that offensive line looks bad, I swear alarm bells are going to be going off Monday. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be going off loud because this is what we saw in the preseason. This offensive line, the last thing we saw of them, they didn't play well. And if they show up and don't play well again, it's going to be a huge concern.
It's a confirmation of what we believed and what we thought that we have seen throughout training camp in the preseason games. Nate Texan says, D-Mace, how difficult is it to sleep the night before your first game of the NFL season?
First game of the NFL season. Now, if you're asking me, like, first game in the NFL season my rookie year, yeah, I couldn't sleep. but after that, I mean, you just get so – I want people to understand this. It's what you do. Like, after a while, you do it. Say, you know, radio. We're all doing it. That first year, it was just, no matter what, it was just okay. You're like, you know, the day before the week, you know, the start of the week, whether it's after the Titans, what are we going to talk about? Mm-hmm. How are we going to present it? So that's what you're thinking about, and you're a little bit worried. Like, man, I got to make sure this is on point. But I think after that, after you've done it for a while, it's not that it gets easier. You just know what to expect. So you get on the radio and it's like, okay, I can, you know, I'm not worried about doing it. I'm not worried about messing up or anything. I'm just worrying about, you know, just giving our listeners something good to hear. That's how it is with football. It's like, yeah, listen, it's the one thing you know is going to be competitive. There's going to be a bunch of people in the stands and there's going to be a football out there, okay? Those are the known things, okay? All that other stuff you can't worry about. So why do I need to, and this is essentially how I approach life, why am I worried about something I have no control over? You know? I don't know what that, if that's the case, we're all going to be running around here frantic like a chicken with our heads cut off. No. After I got established, it was, okay, I just know I got to go out there and do my job. There's no, it's like no added pressure. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried or anxious about anything. This is what I do. This is my job, you know. So let's go do it. Now, if you go to Super Bowl, it may be a little bit like, yeah, I can't wait, you know. But a regular season game, it's just like, okay, let's go do a job. Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure we win enough to put ourselves in a position to get in the playoffs. And then once the playoffs happen, you know, throw everything out the window.
I think it's, you know, with football and so many things in life, that feeling in the beginning is totally normal. But it's something that comes with time that you understand that this is just, this is what I do. This is my job and I got to get things done.
That feeling, though, that we all get when we're so excited about whatever's going to happen the next day, it's such a weird thing. Like, I cannot go to sleep. I cannot go to sleep.
I remember before my first day on air, I did not sleep a lick and I almost threw up the next morning because I was so nervous and so scared. And now it's just, okay, this is what we do. This is our jobs. Last one for you. Last question for D-Mace. Do you remember the hardest hit from your career that you took in your career?
Oh, man. The hardest hit I took was from other than the one I took from when Benny Thompson, and he knocked me out when I was catching a punt my rookie year, knocked me clean out. It didn't hurt. I was just out. And it's not like I got up and was like, oh, my goodness, I'm hurt. No, it was, we were playing Pittsburgh, and it was the cleanest hit. What's the linebacker name for Pittsburgh? The guy that lifts all the weights. Defensive end, not linebacker. Defensive end. What was
Harrison?
Yeah, Harrison.
Ooh.
I caught.
That guy was just mean.
Yeah, he was just a mean dude. I mean, hell of a player, too.
James Harrison?
James Harrison, yes. So I run a quick out, but it's zone defense, so I can't just run straight out. So I just turn and hook it up. The minute I turn and the ball comes to me, I didn't even see James Harrison. I just turned around, and I got the ball and went to turn up. Man, he flat leveled me. Like, I was like, oh, my goodness. That I caught the ball. It was a five-yard game. But I'm like, damn.
Was that really worth it?
Was that worth it? Like, was it worth it to take that hit? Like, goodness gracious,
dude,
man.
You start to rethink all your decisions.
But it was
like
a clean.
Selling insurance doesn't sound so bad now, does it?
But it was a clean hit. That's why it hurt so much. It was a clean hit. It was a legal hit. He just flat out leveled me. I'm like, man, that hurt. Like, and I didn't want to show it, you know, because when you get that hit that hard, you don't want to lay on the ground, because once you lay on the ground, they point at you like, yeah, we got him. Yeah, we got him. So I got up like, oh, my goodness.
One of those hurt. That you're like, I can't breathe.
Yes. Like my brother always told me, listen, if you hurt, get up. If you can walk, get up, because everybody on the sideline is watching you from the other team. And if you lay on that ground, they going to think they got you. So every time I would get up, and I got up that time, but I got on the sideline. I was like, oh, shoot, that hurt. I said shoot, people.
Okay? Tougher than me. I stubbed my toe, and I'm down for 3 to 5 business days. Eddie George, Tennessee State head coach and Tennessee Titans legend, will join us coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. The NFL season is back, and so is our NFL pregame show. So join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and D-Mace at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 as they break down the Titans Week 1 matchup against the Saints. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Beast Unleashed.